This is Memcare by Radio with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Memcare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Raising support as an expat cross-cultural Christian worker. It's not an activity that I can say I especially enjoyed. I don't find that kind of thing easy. Maybe you have similar problems. Well, I've been learning some interesting concepts from our special guest. Miles Wilson has been visiting with us for a couple of weeks at this time, introducing us to the process of what he calls funding the family business, raising support, giving for God's work. He spoke recently to a conference of Christian workers in Europe, and we're going to sample some more of what he had to say there on the subject of funding the family business. That's how he refers to this process of raising support. So let's listen for a few minutes to Miles Wilson as he reflects some more on God's extravagant heart.
God wants cheerful givers. This verse was already mentioned. In the middle of all of this cajoling that Paul was doing with Corinth, I think he realized he'd perhaps overstepped the mark. He really had pushed them very hard. He'd said things like, I'm going to come and pick the money up. I'm going to send 3 men in advance to make sure it's ready. I may bring a Macedonian with me because your promise to give prompted them to give. You'll be incredibly embarrassed when they find that you haven't actually given. All this stuff. Stuff I would never put in a fundraising letter. So then he says, okay, but each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, I'm back to this is my one Greek word. I gave you my one Hebrew word yesterday. Presumably somebody here knows the Greek word for cheerful. It is hilaros. What English word does that remind you of? Hilarious. What does that actually mean? You know, the offering basket goes past and you say, oh, how wonderful. Now, what does it mean to be a hilarious giver, a hilaros giver? If you look at the root word of hilaros, it has the same root meaning as to live in one's natural habitat. So, for example, a fish is a cheerful water dweller. It looks up at a bird and thinks, how does it live up there with no water? It can't understand people who don't live in its own context. See, my mother and father were like this. They simply could not understand people who didn't give. They just couldn't understand it because they had become hilarious givers. Being a hilarious giver isn't what you do. It's who you are. If you have to think about it all the time, if you have to analyze it all the time, maybe you're not a cheerful giver. I don't mean by this that you simply, every time you go past somebody, empty your pocket. But you have walked a path of communion with God in this area that means you hear from Him quite consistently. We're still working on it. I still struggle with this, but I'm working on it. See, there's 3 types of givers. First of all, the bottleneck. God pours it into us, and we give every possible reason for narrowing what comes out the other side. Well, not yet, God. Wait till the children are through college. Well, I can't now because my salary's gone way down, or I'm working on support and I've only got half of it raised. Mostly, it is postponing. See, Satan knows us well enough to know that we're not likely to do very bad things. So what he tells us to do is to do good things tomorrow. Oh, yes, of course you should give, but wait till tomorrow. Okay, yeah. And then tomorrow there's another reason. And we just get into the habit of not giving. Yeah. Material that we've worked on in Britain has shown us we need a constant flow into the lives of the believing people, because they are getting a constant flow of negative messages about how to use money. So, for example, I read the Sermon on the Mount every week, if I can, and I would encourage you to do that. It is so counterculture. Love your enemies. Ah, why did he say that? I mean, I suppose I've talked on the Sermon on the Mount a couple of times, and I tend to entitle the talk, "I wish he hadn't said that," because so much of it goes against my natural instinct. Don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? I love worrying. Give me something to worry about. You know? And in giving, it's like that. God pours it in, we narrow it down. For all sorts of logical reasons, but what we do is we block out the call of God, and we listen to other calls on that. The second type of giver is a pipe. It's straight. The money goes in, goes out. Perhaps we tithe without any real thought about it. There's no excitement in it. There's no pain in the offering, perhaps, but there's no excitement either. This can often be legalistic giving. Well, I do my 10% and I've worked it out exactly, and it goes. We sort of forget that the tithe in the Old Testament was probably 23%. You could use some of it to buy wine and beer and have a party. That doesn't get taught very much in churches today. Deuteronomy 14, if you're interested. I want to see who's looking it up now. You know, but this is often legalistic type stuff, which is fine. It actually pays for a lot of what happens. So in that sense, it's helpful. But the third is what I call the sprinkler system. God puts it in and you, at his bidding, throw it out there to see what happens with excitement. Again, back to my parents. I learned this from my parents, how to be a sprinkler giver, how to expect God to do the unusual as we give. I don't know who the head of state is in the different countries represented here, but imagine the head of state or head of government in your country phoned you on your mobile phone. You pick it up and say, "Hello, this is President so-and-so." First of all, you would say, "Yeah, who is this?" "No, it really is President so-and-so." "Oh, goodness. How did you get my number?" "Well, don't worry about that. There's something I would like you to do for me." "Okay. There's a particular situation of need, and I think you are the person to bring something to this. Would you do this for me?" How would you feel if that really happened? Leaving your political views aside. Would that encourage you? Would you think, "Wow. Well, the King of Kings, the God of the universe, whispers in our ear, I'd love you to do something for me. See that person over there? They've got a particular need. Would you please help them? Could you lend your car to that couple? Could you offer your time to help there?" And we have the audacity to say, "Well, actually, no. Nice idea, but I don't think I could do that." Or, "Well, okay, I suppose if I have to, I will." Rather than say, "Wow, what a privilege that the King of Kings is asking me to do something for him." Why have we lost that buzz? I don't know. But maybe we've just followed mammon too much. So where are you in this? Think about it over these next couple of days and think, where am I? Am I stuck at the bottleneck where I'm not able even to hear God in this? Or have I become a routine giver? It's just part of what I do. I don't really, you know, it's not part of my discipleship. It's just what I do. Or are you a giver because of who you are, a hilarious giver, following the path that God has set for you in this? In summary, give with generosity. God did not send an archangel. God did not wait for a January sale. He did not have a buy one, get one free offer. He sent Jesus. Give with generosity, because that's what God has done. Give your best. Give your best. Why should the work of God's kingdom settle for second best? Give with the needs of others in mind. I learned this from Phyllis particularly. If we're going to visit friends, for example, she will think, "Okay, what color is their kitchen so we can buy a house gift that matches?" We have some friends who buy us gifts that they like, but they're no good for us. They go in the flea market later in the year. So give with the needs of others in mind. Think, what will best help the person or the project or the cause to which I'm giving? Give with a spirit of thankfulness and praise. Just that rejoicing that the God of the universe is choosing to prompt me to act on his behalf. Given away your resources will be multiplied. Don't just follow your emotions, but think, is this the best way this my resources can be multiplied in the kingdom? That's why we particularly enjoy supporting office-based staff members, because they serve an entire mission. They are multipliers. Those at the coalface tend to be mostly involved in addition. Give with expectancy. If God asks us to do something, there's usually a reason. We may never get to know what it is, but we should expect God to have some purpose behind the prompting. And give now, not later. Do not let the spirit of mammon get you to the point of procrastinating to giving later. Do it now when God prompts. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you gave Jesus. Thank you that is primarily for your glory, but that we benefit as well. Father, a huge, fantastic plan that allows us to be swept up in your generosity. I pray that we would be able on a daily basis to grow in our understanding of that, to have an excitement about being cheerful givers, givers whose daily walk involves us listening to you and responding to you. Father, help us to be better at that and to multiply it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was Miles Wilson sharing some more background and Bible insights and encouragement about fundraising and raising support. That's an experience I think we've all had to share as cross-cultural Christian workers. Maybe some of us enjoy it more than others, but it's something we've all had to do. If you'd like to learn more about Miles Wilson, he does have a website called Funding the Family Business.
This feature is a presentation of MemCare by Radio. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We would like to invite you to check out our website further. We offer other audio features and resources to help you in your work and ministry. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that we feel will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemCare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.